In Parsha Shmos, we have the pasuk Loma Sake Reacha, and in the context of Perek Beis, and you'll see it on pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayetze Bayom Hasheni, Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the palace, and it says Vehine Shnei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim. There are two Jewish men that are fighting each other, they're quarreling with each other. Vayomer l'rosha loma sake reyecha. Why should you strike your friend? And Rashi explains that these two individuals who were in a quarrel were dasan vaviram. And these were anoshim rishoyim. These were evildoers. Lohem asit Leos, in the future, they would have a long history of confrontation against Moshe Rabbeinu. These were real troublemakers. And the way their confrontation is described, it would seem that this was the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu had an encounter with Dasan Vaviram. And as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu saying to them, or to one of them, Lama Saka Reyacha, Moshe had to run away from Eretz Yisrael to Midian. It's only years later that Moshe comes back to Mitzrayim as the Shliach, as the agent of Hashem, to be Goel B'nai Yisrael from the Shibud of Mitzrayim. In the context of this pasuk, we'd like to address the following question. What is the nature and the definition of the Iser HaKor, the prohibition of assaulting another human being, another Jew in this case? When is it prohibited to hit someone? When is it permitted to do so, perhaps even a mitzvah to do so? And is there an isur just to raise one's hand, what we call haromas yad, against one's fellow Jew, even if he never actually hits him? And within this context, we want to discuss the case of Makis Ishto. The poskim are very severe about this. Someone who uses physical, he physically assaults his wife. We want to talk about hitting a child, if parents want to discipline the child, or within an educational context. And basically, we're going to try to investigate the questions that we have over here. And let's begin with defining the basic Iser HaKor, and where is its source in the Torah. The Torah says in Dvarim Chaf Hei, Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef. We're talking about a convicted criminal who violated a law in the Torah, and he's Chayiv Malkus, and the Torah says he gets 40 lashes. Chazal say he gets 39. That's Al Pi Torah Shebal Peh. But whatever it is, the Torah says Lo Yosef, that the Shliach Bezdin in this case, meeting out the Malkus, is not allowed to go beyond that number. There's a separate lav which engenders an isur to add one extra blow. So for example, if the Shliach Bezdin hits him a 40th time, then the Shliach Bezdin incurs a violation of a lav. And the Lashon of the Gemara in Masechta Makis on Daf Chav Gimel is Lo Yosef Mikan Azhar L'Makis Chavero. Rashi quotes this in his Pirish in Kiseitze, Parshas Kiseitze, that this Pasuk Lo Yosef is the source indeed for the Iser HaKor. So we're not just learning and limited to the case of the Shliach Bezdin, but rather we can universalize this as a general Iser that applies, that enjoins us from hitting anyone. And the Rambam codifies this halacha in Hilchas Chovel of Mazik at the beginning of the fifth perek. The Rambam says, Osel Yodom Lachbol Bein Biatzmo Bein Bechavero. The language of the Rambam is interesting. He's talking about causing an injury. But then he writes, V'lo achovil bilvad, not only if he wounds someone and causes his blood to come out, elakol amake odom koshem Yisrael, anyone who hits, and here the Rambam says it's an odom kosher. The Rambam adds, bein katan, bein gadol, bein ish, bein isha. And I'm going to deliberately skip the two words that I want to emphasize. We'll come back to them. Hareza over belosase shenema lo yosef lahakoso. And then the Rambam says, imishira torshlo lahosef bahakos hachote kalvachomer lemakes atzadik. So we're talking about a convicted criminal who violated a law, and the Shliach Bezin is not allowed to add that extra hakah. If he does so and he reaches the number 40, he violates the law of Lo Yosef. How much more so does this law of Lo Yosef apply to one Jew hitting another Jew? But the Rambam stipulates that the victim is a kosher. He's a decent human being, a decent Jew, he has a good record, he's not a Rasha. Now, as I told you, we skipped over two words which are very, very important. The Rambam writes, Derech Nitzoyon. Now, these words, Derech Nitzoyon, again, there are Girsa issues in the Rambam, but it means that there was a deliberate hitting of someone for the sake of being aggressive, of being actively interested in hitting him. And we'll see there are various cases where, whether it's discipline or education, whether it might be hitting someone because you're trying to be mafresh and be isur, or perhaps hitting someone within the context of a game or sports or whatever it is. That's not what the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam adds the stipulation, this condition, that derech nitzoyon, the hakoh, which the Torah prohibited, says the Rambam, is derech nitzoyon. A deliberate, angry, letting out some real aggression. Now, the Rambam's halacha is codified later on by the Tur and by the Shulchan Aruch and Kol Shem Mishpat Siman Tov Chaf. And once the Makkah violates an Isur Losas in the Torah, the Kol Shem Mishpat Paskins in Siman Lamed Daled, he's possibly Edus Min HaTorah. That he's disqualified as a witness. So we see here that there's a certain snowball effect. It's very severe, because not only are you violating a law in the Torah, but as a result of hitting someone, and we're not talking about injuring him, but hitting someone who's kosher, and you're hitting him derech nitzayon in an angry sort of way, you violate a law, and you're posuleitus. That's the halacha as it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. Now, what about payment? Meaning, can the victim, he was struck by another Jew, can he sue the guilty party, meaning the maker, for damages? So the Rambam says that, and this will answer our question in a roundabout way, but the Rambam says that if a person hits his friend, violating the law of Pen Yosef, he does not get Malchus for that. Even though every other law in the Torah incurs Malchus, this one doesn't. And the reason for that, the Rambam establishes in the 16th chapter of Hilchos Sanhedrin. This is Perek Tezayin, Halacha Yud Beis. Let's read the Rambam's language. V'hu adin l'chol makes chavero shehu belosaseh. And then he writes, kol makes chavero afilu hika eved hakosh ein bo shavapruta loke avalim yesh bo shavapruta hol v'hu chayav l'shalei mamon ein on the mishalem u'loke k'moshe bi'arnu mekam v'komos. So the Rambam basically says the following. Let's reformulate our question. If a person violates the law of Pen Yosef and he strikes someone, then should we apply the universal rule that in violation of a law you get Malchus? And the Rambam says it depends. There are two categories. In one case, there's financial liability. The victim sues the aggressor for damages, and the aggressor, the makeh, has to pay nezikin. We have a rule, ein adam loke umeshalim, that a person who pays does not get malchus. So since this act of hakah incurs a financial payment, he has to compensate the victim, therefore he's alleviated from malchus. If, on the other hand, the hakah was not a shava pruta, it was less than a shear of mammon, and therefore it does not engender any sort of obligation of financial compensation to the victim, in such a case, the violation of the law, says the Rambam, will be punishable by malchus. Now, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that we want to discuss. Let's see if we get to it. On Yemar Makomos page, we mention here that the question of chiyuv mamon, of financial compensation for hakah, is itself pretty complicated. We just mentioned it in broad strokes, and the issue of whether it was a hakah that was shava pruta, wasn't shava pruta, and there are different types and categories of nezikin. So we're not going to get into that now, but suffice it to say that if there's a chovas tashlumi mamon, and bezdin paskins that as a result of the hakah, the makah is chayev to pay damages. In the case of chavol, there's five categories of damages. But whatever it is, if he pays damages, then he's alleviated from malchus because there's no mishalim uvelok. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Chesem and Beis indicates how severe this act of hitting one's friend is. Omar Rab Chanina, Hasoter laws, which means lechyo, it means he slaps someone in the face, shel Yisrael, ki'ilu soser lo'o shel shechina. It's if kaviyochel he slapped the shechina in the face. Shenemar, mukash odom yele kodesh, posgim mishle. So this Gemara really dramatizes the severity of this prohibition of hitting someone. This member of the name of Rab Chanina, equating him with someone who slaps the face of the Shechina. And that's Sugyan Sanhedrin, and I'm afraid to mention this to you, it's a little bit scary, in Sanhedrin Nun Ches tells us that there was a Maisa with Rav Huna, and a person was really overstepped his bounds, and he was guilty, repeatedly guilty, for this kind of aggression against fellow Jews where he hit them with his hands. And Rav Huna took a very extreme measure, very unusual, and that is he actually, I'll read to you the language, cuts as yodo. He cut off his hand. Okay, because this guy was a criminal in this particular area. And this was a horosh shah. It's not something that we should think is conventional punishment. It's absolutely unconventional, and it was administered out of a particular need at that particular moment. So I mentioned this Gemara in Rav Huna and Sanhedrin just to show you the severity of this crime. And a person who assaulted repeatedly, Rav Huna inflicted upon him a very extreme measure, utilizing a special, flexing a special muscle of executive punishment in a very rare case, because this situation required an extreme response and an unconventional punishment. So that's what I wanted to mention to you. There's a whole tshuva in the Rivash about this. I don't know if we'll get a chance to see it, but the Gemara over there, Rav Huna was a Rosh Shah. As we said, it was an extreme measure and very exceptional to the rules of punishment. Now, let's talk about Maka Eschaveru Posolyedus. A person violates a lav, and he's considered a Rasha. And we saw that in Parsha Shmos, the person who, whether it's Dasan Avir, who hits someone else, is considered a Rasha. And in Shulchan Aruch, Choshim Mishpat Tov Chaf, it says that any chote is posel yedus until he does tshuva, and this is applied to the case of makes chavero. This is also in the Ravan, in the Mordechai. The Mordechai is towards the end of Masechet Sanhedrin, and it's in the Ramah in Choshim Mishpat Simon Lamed Dalid Seif Dalid. The Amshel Shlomo Bava Kama has a whole section about this din of Psul Edus in the case of Make Es Chaver. The Ramah also writes, and this is in Choshim Mishpat Tov Chaf, that there's a Cherem Kadmonim, and according to this excommunication, this Cherem, a person who hits his friend is excluded from being counted for a minion. He's not part of the Asura to create a Tzibur. And the Chassam Sofer writes in a Tshuva, which is a Choshim Mishpat Kuf Pei Beis, he was asked about a certain person who is an Avelus for his father, and the question was, can he daven for the Omid? And this person was someone who violated this Isur, this Lav of Pen Yosef. The Chassam Sofer used the term to describe him, Hika B'Egrof. You know, he uses his fist to hit someone. And basically, the Chassam Sofer says that according to the Ikar HaDin, because of this kind of aggression on the part of this individual, he should not be davening for the Tzibur. No one should answer Amen to his brachas. He's posel yedus. He should not be yored l'teva as a shlich Tzibur. However, the Chassam Sofer, as far as Harol HaMaisa is concerned, he has his taigud. He moves back a little bit. He has a reservation. He says, it all depends on the koch of the Tzibur. Lachuf oso lachzol lemutov. In other words, if this will be a successful method of bringing this person back to do tshuva, then we should absolutely institute the Ikar Halacha as it is. A violent individual, Bal Egrof, who uses his physical strength, he frightens people, assaults people, he should not be permitted to daven for the Omen. We are not allowed to answer Omen to his brachas. He's a Rasha, and he's Posel Yedus, but in practice, he says, it all depends on whether this will coerce him to change his ways. Does the congregation, does the tzibur have this power? Let's get back to the Rambam in Hilchos Chovel. The Rambam added that condition, that stipulation, that he's hitting an Adam Kosher. With regard to hitting a Rasha, the Rambam is teaching us that the Iser of Pen Yosef does not chal. And this is based on a Sugya in Sanhedrin, Pei Hei Omen Aleph, a very famous Sugya, which is called Hukash Hakol Leklola. And anyone included in the Iser Klol, that you're not allowed to be Mekalel him, is by this analogy, is included in the Iser Hakol, that you're not allowed to hit him. And in the Parsha of Klol, it says, Nasi Biamecha. And the Gemara dashes that Nasi Biamecha means Osa Maisa Amcha. He's part of the fold, he observes the law, and therefore there's an Iser Klol, that's an Adam Kosher. And by virtue of this Gezeirah Shavah between Hakah and Klola, likewise in the Iser Hakah, it's got to be an Adam Kosher, Osa Maisa Amcha. Now, it's very interesting because the very source for the Iser Hakah is the case of a Shliach Bezdin who's meeting out punishments. He's meeting out lashes to Malkus. So that itself is the source for the Iser HaKor, and it's paradoxical, because there he's hitting a Rasha who's Chayv Malkus. He did an Aver B'mezid. The answer might be that through the Malkus, he becomes a Tzaddik. The Malkus itself reinstates him into the position of Osa Maisa Amcha. In any event, there's a Sefer called Chavatzelas HaSharon. Here in Parsha Shmos, he has a whole discussion about that, and I'll see if we can get a hold of it. It's not an easy sefer to get a hold of. But be that as it may, The Chidushi Aran on that sugyan Sanhedrin Pei Hei says that although there's no Iser of Hakah vis-a-vis a Rasha, if the victim is a Rasha, but nevertheless, that doesn't exempt the Makeh from Tashlumei Mamon, from compensation for damages. So the Ran is already postulating that the Halacha recognizes within the context of Makeh Chavero two dinim. One is a din Isur, the Avera of the violation of the law of Pen Yosef, and number two is the Chiyuv Tashlumei Mamon. And these two are not engendered necessarily by the same Hakah. Here we have a case of Hakah of a Rasha who's not Osa Maisa Amcha, and therefore there is no violation of the Iser Pen Yosef, the Lav. But on the other hand, as far as Dini Momenis is concerned, even a Rasha has recourse to sue a Tzaddik for damages. In other words, there's no heter of Momen. It's not like the Momen of a Rasha is Hefker. We're not saying that. In damages, you have to pay. So even though the Torah doesn't prohibit this Hakah, nevertheless, he's Chayav B'Tashlumin. And this really touches on a very, very famous Chakira. The Rav Zichron Avraham used to speak about it all the time, especially in his introductory Yeshia to Bava Kama, which is a classic. What is the Mechayav B'Tashlumin Azikin? Is it the Averas Halav, and the Chiyuv Tashlumin is also B'Toras Onesh, or is it simply a Chiyuv Mamon? Like, for example, if I borrow $100 from you, I have to pay you back, not because of an Avera or a Mitzvah, but simply because I am holding on to your Mamon. So how do we understand the compensation, the Chiyuv Niskei Mamon Tashlumin in the case of a Mazik? This Ran would seem to indicate that there the Chiyuv Tashlumei Nezikin is rooted in Mamon. And it's not a punishment for an Averis Halav, because in the case of a Rasha, you haven't violated a Lav, and yet you have to pay damages. The Uraim, for example, in Mitzvah Reshut Zion, says that you don't have to pay damages if you make a Rasha. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman is famous for saying there in Bava Kama, in Kovet Shiurim, that the Chovas Tashlumin in Ezekiel depends upon the Iser Hakah, meaning that Rabbi Chanan is much more along the lines of our first definition of Tashlumin Ezekiel, namely, it's an onesh for a crime, for a violation of an Avera. Again, you have to understand that it could be the Avera itself befall was not violated. For example, we have a principle in Ezekiel, Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. So there may be cases where a person hits someone inadvertently, but there's some element, even a minor, limited element of pshi of negligence. And if he's even though he doesn't violate the lav, he hasn't deliberately violated the lav, but he'll have to pay damages because the maisa hezek that he implemented lends itself to the violation of the lav. Technically. He hasn't violated a lot because he was anus, he was shogeg, whatever the case. But with regard to a nizak, who was, you know, after he was hit by someone, the nizak is a rasha. He's not osa maisa amcha. We could probably safely define the hakah as hakah she'ein ba aver salav. It's not that the chisaron here is in the das or the deliberate intentional nature of the maisa, but the maisa itself doesn't lend itself to an averis halav. The gavra hamuke is mufke from the lav of Pen Yosef insofar he's not osa maisa amcha. And according to the Reyim Enochinami, in such a case there is no chovas tashlume nezikin. So tashlume nezikin by definition have to be generated by an Avera Salav, or at least a Maisa that's not Mufka from a Chiyuv and an Avera. Whereas the Ran would seem to maintain that Tashlumin Ezekin, at least in Adam HaMazik as Chavero, and we're not talking about a Chovel now, is not rooted in the Avera Salav or contingent upon the Avera Salav. It's an independent Chiyuv Mamon, if we can say, similar to a person who borrows money from his friend. He has to pay him back under the category of Chiyuv Mamon. Now I want to discuss with you a very interesting shaila that really, it comes up in the Marit, in Shuvas, but it really jumps out of our parsha here of Lama Sakariach and Parsha Shmos. And the question is, Rashi on L'Rosha L'Masakes Reyecha says, Reyecha Rosha K'moscha. And the Tain of Moshe Rabbeinu against Dosan Vaviron as to Loma Sakariacha would seem to imply that there was, in that particular scenario, set of circumstances, an Averis Halav Ben Yosef. Loma Sakariacha, Rashi says that this is something that only a Russian does. But yet, if we assume, as we saw in the Rambam, that the Isra HaKor only applies to an Adam Kosher, if the victim is Kosher, he's an Osa Maisa Amcha, and here Rashi says, Reacha Rosha Kamoscha, the victim clearly in the case of Dosam Avirim was a Rosha, then there's no Averis Halav. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu stand up and make a protest, and at the end of the day, because of that protest, he had to run away to Midjan, if there was no Averis Halav? And the Marit writes the following to answer this question. He says, it's true that you're allowed to hit someone who is a Rasha, but that's only, that heter, that leniency, only applies if you're a tzaddik. But a Rasha is enjoined from hitting another Rasha, despite the fact that the victim is not an Osa Maisa Amcha. So even though they're both Rishayim, and the victim is a Rosha, nevertheless, the aggressor violates the Iser HaKor because he himself is a Rosha. The fact that he himself is a Rosha puts him outside the pale of this exception that alleviates the Avera in the case where the victim, is a Rosha. That Ptur does not apply to a Maka if the Maka is a Rosha. And this is very similar to something we'll find in the Chafetz Chaim, in Shmiras HaLoshon, in the name of the Smak. He says that a person is not allowed to punish someone else if the one, the Manish, who's implementing the punishment, he himself is a violator of that very same sin. Here too, to say, well, I'm allowed to hit him because he's a Rasha, when you yourself are a Rasha, that you don't have the right to say. So Moshe Rabbeinu is within his bounds, according to Halacha, by saying Rasha Loma Saka Reacha, even though Rashi says Reacha is a Rasha Kamoscha, meaning that the Maka is a Rasha and the Muka is a Rasha. The only reason there's a heter to hit a Rasha is because you're hoping that by hitting him, he'll stop, he'll desist his averus, his criminal actions, he'll do tshuva. But if the Mach himself violates the same avera, then surely we cannot see his act of hakaz if it's done with the express intention of preventing his friend, the Muka, from a chait. He himself is guilty of that chait. Because whoever was the aggressor here, we'll call him Dasan, was hitting Aviron. Okay, so Aviron is a Rasha, right? But Dasan himself is a Rasha. I mean, he's hitting Aviron. So Dasan has no right to say, well, I'm hitting him for the sake of his doing tshuva, because Dasan is not doing it for that purpose. Now, you could always ask, maybe, you know, did Moshe Rabbeinu have independent, let's say, was he privy to independent source of information to know that the Maka was not interested, he was guilty of the same sin, and he was not interested in getting the Muka to do tshuva, he was doing it out of a sense of aggression? And I think the answer to that is that the pasuk itself seems to indicate that this was an act of aggression. Right? Let's just go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayetze b'yom hasheni v'hineh shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim." You know, that's derech nitzayon here. It's clear that the makir was not in, you know, his intentions were not pure. He wasn't doing it in order to bring a person to stop and desist from chait. He wasn't seeing himself as the religious, you know, self-appointed shliach bezdin here. He was doing it out of aggression, out of anger, because they were fighting. Now, in our day and age, I just want to bring this into contemporary halacha. To say that you could hit a rasha and it's allowed, that would not be accurate. And for two reasons. First of all, because there's a principle called Dina de Malchusa Dina, and we don't have the right to violate the law of the land, which would certainly prohibit us from hitting someone, even if he's a rasha, obviously. That's number one. And number two, not only is it a crime in secular law, and therefore improper in halacha, but more than that. If the purpose of hitting someone is to bring him to tshuva, because he's a rasha, the victim is a rasha, in our day and age, that would hardly achieve its goal. And here, I'd like to quote to you the beautiful language of the Chazon Ish in Yoredeya. Right at the beginning of Yoredeya, I think it's Siman Beis, he writes the following. V'nira de'ein din moridin el bizman shahashkachaso gluya. That in earlier generations, there was a divine providence that was crystal clear. It was evident. Kamo bizman shayu nisim mitsuyin, at those times, there were miracles that were quite commonplace. There was a baskol. He says, Sadiqi Ador, those Sadiqim who were tachas hashkocha protis hanuris la'ayin kol, they were on such a level that they were able to exist and perceive in front of their eyes hashkocha pratit of Hashem. He says, Vakofrim oz hu bin elizus miuchedes Batoyas Darche Ayetzel Taivas Vefkerus. Okay, so those who violated the Torah law at that time were clearly not just lawbreakers, but they were really threatening the values of society. And they were pursuing, the Chazon Ish says, Taivos, and they were, trying to implement a world of Hefkerus. Hefkerus is hard to translate into English, but in any event, they wanted to defy and rebel against the law. So within that context, with tzaddikim who were under divine direction, and rishonim who were really trying to undermine the entire value, the societal values, then bir harishonim, the idea of getting up and physically fighting against the evildoers, Shehakol, he says, Gidro Shel Olam, it's a kind of tikkun, it's a kind of rectification of the world. Shekol Yodu, everyone knew, Ki Adochas Hador Mevi Puranius Leolam, that such action on the part of the Rishoyim would bring evil and destruction into the world. So therefore, everybody perceived the Rishonim as being a threat to the entire society. Maybe Dever, Vecherev, Verov, Ba'olam, it brings all the different pestilence and all the different magefos and plagues. Is in such a case where divine providence is so clear, and the people appreciate the tzaddikim of the generation, and they understand how terrible is the evil of the Rishonim, and it threatens to undermine the entire religious worldview of society, and it could bring about such terrible repercussions of Deva Vechera Virov, everybody appreciated that if need be, the tzaddik would take the law into his hands in the sense of physical punishment against the Rishoyim. Aval Bizman has said, but now, says the Chazon Ish, what kind of generation do we live in? Zman HaHelem. Helim means we are distant from Hashem. We don't see Hashem. Nichris ha'amuna min adeles ha'am. He says that the undermining of faith is rampant. Ein b'maisa horada geder pritza. He says there's no question that taking the active, aggressive kind of road against the evildoers would not put a fence around the pirtza, around the, when they pierce through the walls and try to, rip down the gedarim of society. The spectator who observes a tzaddik doing physical harm against the rasha will perceive it as an act of hashchas of alimus, as acts of aggression, and we have to do the exact opposite. Kol atzmeinu l'sakenes hadin, all of our input and our energies to try to rectify the law. Noeg b'shazu aleinu lachzirom b'avosel shal ava. We have to use love, chains of love, to bring those who are far and distant away back to the fold. L'amido b'keren ora, to bring them into the radiant light of the Shechina, b'mesh shiyodo magas. So our approach towards the Rishon, the evildoers, has to be just the opposite of the approach that we're talking about in Chazal, of Moridin and all the aggression and being Makir Rishoyim. So therefore this whole Allah of being Makir Rishoyim should not apply today in our time, again for those two reasons. First, because of Dina the Malchusa, and secondly because it would not achieve its goals, and on the contrary, it'll bring about just the opposite. However, if this halacha of Hakah, for the purpose of bringing back the Rishoyim to Tshuva, that heter akod does no longer apply today. The heter litzora chinuch, in other words, within an educational framework, parents who have to discipline their children, and possibly even within the school system, we'll have to see about that. That's a very sensitive issue. That's a horse of a different color. Again, the Rambam, as we emphasized at the outset in Perkei Milchus Chovel Amazik, sets up the condition that the Isra HaKol implies derech nitzayon, in aggressive way, out of a sense of anger, but someone who's hitting someone, not out of anger, or not out of a quarrel, or some sort of major controversy or hatred between the two, ela b'derech shel toeles, the kavanas hotova, he's doing it for a desire to uplift someone, to train someone, to educate someone, is there's no violation at all. And if you take a look again in Rabbi Chanan, we mentioned before the Kovetz Haaretz, he says that this is the din in all Isurim, Bein Adam Lechavero. He writes, Lule Divreim Hayanira Dechola Isurim Shbein Adam Lechavero Einam Asur Mel Der Kilkul Vashchasa. He mentions the Lav Lo Tisnas Achicha, the Isur Sinas Chinam, or the Lav of Almona V'yosam Lo Sa'anun. In all these cases, the Isur is Der Kilkul and Der Hashchasa. And Haraya, the Halacha is Ra'al of Dvar Erva Mutulus Noso. The Rambam says that if you were ma'ana, a ger, or a yosam, an almana, l'lamdom Torah, or umnis, for the purpose of teaching them Torah, or teaching them a trade, there's no iser. And in the lav lo selik rachil, you're allowed to speak lashon hara against someone who's a bal machlokes, he engenders controversy and splits the people, and strife, in order to try to stop the strife. And in onos dvarim, for derech tochach it's mutter, and Rabbi Chanan says okay mutter halbin ponim derech tochacha. Technically, according to Allah, even if you embarrass someone, but it's for the purpose of giving him chastisement or rebuke, it's allowed. Im lo chazer achrei shochicha b'seiser, meaning first you have to do everything, you know, exhaust all possibilities to give him tochacha in private in a very soft kind of spoken way. But if need be, and you have to humiliate him publicly, you're allowed to do so. You're even allowed to curse someone for the sake of tochacha, and we find this within the Nevi'im. The prophets did that throughout history, says Rav Chanan. Harei muchach mikol zeh, this is his bottom line, dekol ha'isurim ha'elu hutru l'tzorech to'eles. All the isurim of Bein Adam L'Chavero were alleviated in the case of this to'eles. And therefore, if we apply that to the Yisrael HaKah, and the Rambam adds the stipulation that the violation of the law of Ben Yosef is dafka derech nitzayon, then it's a simple matter that we can derive within any context where the hakah is positive for a toeles, to achieve a goal, and it's not engendered by derech nitzayim, by anger, it would be mutter. For example, we find in the Shut Divrei Yitziv, he writes, Mashakosav Aram Derech Nitzayon, Poshut the Kavanos Lafuke Harav Harod the Talmido. That there's no question about it, that this is to the exclusion of a teacher whose intention is to discipline his student and to educate them. So he's not doing out of hate or anger or animosity, but rather out of a desire to educate and train. And he quotes a number of Rishonim to prove this point. And I want to refer you also to a Tshuva Nigros Moshe Choshim Mishpat Chelek Aleph Siman Gimel of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He writes, Ein Baram Shekosva Makeh Derech Nitzayon Mashmadim Eino Derech Nitzayon Lo Havi Bechlal Halav Klal. There's no violation of the Lav. V'lachein Ein Lach Shiv Zeshem Makeh Lafrushe Misura. In the case of someone who hit someone in order to prevent him from violating an Avera, that's called Lafrushe Misura. Umekayim Esei, and he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Hokeh Tochiach. V'chein, also in the case of Aves, Bino Lachancho, the father is disciplining his son in order to educate and train him. Is Huta Mechlolo. That would certainly be excluded from this klal of the Isur Pen Yosef. Shari Eino Derech Nitzoyon. It's not considered an angry way out of animosity. So we have all these cases of someone who's trying to prevent someone from violating an Isur, a father who tries to educate his child, or a Rebbe who's trying to teach his student. In all these cases, it's not Derech Nitzoyon. And therefore, it's not included in the Averis Halav. Now, the story is not that simple. Because even though in these cases there's no strict violation of the Aver of Hakah, nevertheless, all the Svarim, the Bali Musa, and so forth, and all the Mechanchim, they warn us, you better think at least twice before you hit someone and take this license to hit somebody for the sake of education. Even if there's no strict Iser, but Hakah is really the last resort. And one of the contemporaries, he's no longer alive, Rav Shlomo Volba, in his very classical Sefer Ali Shor, writes a whole treatise here to warn us that hitting is only a last resort and it could have negative consequences. The educational purpose can be achieved by other means, and therefore it's preferable to try other means. It's only a last resort. And we should always prefer other methods to achieve our goals of educating, of training, of rebuking, and disciplining. To use physical force is, as we said before, not something that we look forward to. It doesn't bring to love. It doesn't reflect the love of a parent to a child or of a Rebbe to a student. And sometimes it engenders anger and strengthens midos roes. And for this whole discussion about a Rebbe and a Talmud, it's kedai to go through the sugya of Basra Chaf Aleph. I think it's in the sugya of Lo Yachpar there, about education and all the takonis of Tashbar, and so forth and so on. As I said at the outset, we would like to address the issue of makes ishto. I hate to use the English term, it sends a shudder up your spine, and that is wife beating. And although wife beating certainly is included in the general Isur of Makeh es Chavero, and it's a violation of a lav, however, we find in a lot of the poskim, especially by Rabbi Rutenberg, that there's a specific category and an Isur Chomer Mi'od way above and beyond the general Isur of hitting someone in the case of Makeh Ishto. And there are two tshuvas in the Rabbi Rutenberg that I wanted to call your attention to. One, he writes, Osel Yon Lahakos is Ishto Vimu Maka Osa Tadir Kofin Osa Lahotzio. If he's guilty on multiple occasions of beating his wife, then we force him to divorce her. Now, in halacha, you need a real serious violation in order to engender grounds for divorce. Grounds for divorce in halacha, kofen osol lotzia, is not a simple matter. And he writes that beating one's wife is even more severe, more chomer than makas chavero, ki hi yosheves levada. She lives sort of a more lonely existence, depending upon her husband, her love from her husband. Akashalo, his beating of her, pogaspa biyoser dimasa mitsuya. She's always close to crying. She's such a sensitive individual. And then he adds, the oncho gadol mimake chavero. The punishment for this crime is it exceeds beyond the general violation of Pen Yosef. Ki hi yosheves levada vidimasa mitsuya. In a different tshuva, to Marami Rutenberg, that's the Rebbe of the Rush, you're really going back in time here, Hosef, he writes, im asur lahakos adam acher, kal v'chomesh asur lahakos es ishto, it's so much more chomor, shari abal tzorch lechabed es ishto yosem migufo. A man's obligation as a husband within marriage is to be mechabed his wife more than he's mechabed himself. So if the prohibition applies stating any Jew, it applies so much more severely in the case of a man who beats up his wife. That is a terrible, terrible avera. And shalom neidam izeh. There's also a tshuva of the Binyamin Zev. He writes, Gazru cherem, in the case of a husband who beats his wife, we will decree an excommunication, a cherem, against him. And he says, Yesh mi b'nos Yisrael tzorakos al zeh v'einon nenos. Nebuch, he says that there are Jewish wives who cry for out of help, and no one hears their cries. And we know that now there are centers where she can you know, anonymously call and get direction. He says, L'chein gazarnu b'tokev gzera v'eila v'ola, excuse me, al kol bar Yisrael likanis b'cherem shalola hakos ishto. He says we have enacted a very severe punishment, a decree of excommunication for any man that beats his wife. This shall not be tolerated in Israel. And the chumrah, the severity of this violation, is paskin by the Ramah. He codifies it in Eben Ezra, Kuf Nun Dalet. This is language. Ish hamake ishto avera hi biyodo kemake eschavero. V'im hirgil b'kach, rogil b'kach, yesh bi'ad bezdin liyasro. Bezdin is empowered with the ability to make him suffer. He doesn't go into detail about that, but you can imagine. Ula achrimo, and put him into excommunication. Ula halkoso bechol mine ridui v'kfir. The Ramah is very outspoken about this. He says, beat him up with force. And make sure that every type, every method of ridui and kfir is employed here. Lashbio shalo yaseyu od, and on top of that, introduce a shvu, an oath, to make sure that he doesn't repeat the crime. Although the Ramah doesn't codify the halacha that we saw in the Marami Rutenberg of kofen osol lotzia, that we force him to give a get, that's a more complicated issue. Again, kfiyas get is not a simple matter, al pi din, and there are numerous different variables that come into contact here, come into play here. We'd have to learn the laws of gittin, because otherwise the get might be possible if we force the get. You know, forced get is not a simple matter. There's a lot of issues in the papers about that. So that's not really appropriate for our discussion, the framework of our discussion today. But you should know that the Marami Rutenberg writes kofen osol lotzia. Now, the last piece that I want to discuss with you is the question of someone who raises his hand against his friend, but he has no intention of actually hitting him. And if you take a look at Chazal regarding the Isur of Lagbia Yodo al Chavero, which is a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chesam in Beis, Omer Reish Lakish Magbia Yad Yodo al Chavero Afal Pishalo Hiko Nikra Rasha. Even though, says Reish Lakish, he didn't actually hit him, he's considered a Rasha. And the source for this statement of Reish Lakish, his proof text, is our pasuk and our parasha, Shenemar, Vayomer L'Rasha Lomasaka Reacha. Lama hikisa lo nemar el lama saka afal pishlo iko nikra rasha. And this is what Rashi quotes here ala Torah, b'ktsara, in a short piece. Let's just review it. The statement of Reish Lakish in Masechta Sanhedrin establishes that one is forbidden not only to hit someone, but even raising his hand against his fellow, he is considered a rasha. And the Rambam codifies this in Hilchas Chovel Mazik. Let's see if we can get the Rambam here. Hopefully it'll show up soon. But before we read the Rambam, we had the Rambam here before. Let's see if we can open it. Just give me a second. Rambam's language is Kfar his hero. Milirmos lahakos afilo yake. The Rambam's language in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Losas Eshin, number 300, he says, we were warned from even hinting at smiting someone, even if he doesn't hit him. And the implication of the Rambam is that this Issa of raising one's hand against another applies even if he has no intention to hit him at all. The Sefer HaChinuch seems to imply the same thing in Mitzvah Tov Kuf Tzarihe. The Chachomim Zal, Manu Oso, they prevented him, meaning they prohibited against Afil Milirmos Lahakos. But the question really is, and this is a diyun in the Sfarim in the Poskim, whether or not a person violates the Isur only if he raises his hand against his friend and he has das, he has intention to hit him, and for whatever reason he was prevented from hitting him, so he never implemented his will, but that was his intention. Or is he called a rasha simply because of the pool itself of haramas hayat? Haramas hayat, even though it's just a threat and he never intended to mete out this threat and implement it, nevertheless he is a rasha, even without kavana lahakos. So if you take a look in the Sugyan Sanhedrin that we mentioned earlier, Daf Nun Chesam and Beis, you'll see that the Yad David accepts the first approach, and you'll see that also in another sefer called Reacha Kamocha, in the name of the Grach, Rav Chaim Konevsky from Bnei Brak. And that would seem to be implicit also in the Sefer HaYireim, because the language of Sefer Yireim is Tzarech Lizor, Tzarech Adam Lizor Shalo Yagbia Yodo Al Chaver Lehakoso, for the sake of being Makahim. But that, as we said, is not the straight reading of the Rambam. The Rambam seems to imply that he's Romes Lahakos. Sounds like, even though he has no Kavanah to be Makahim. The Sefer Chinuch is a little bit less clear, because it says manu oso, chachamim manu oso, so that sounds like an isur d'rabbanon. So there might be tzvei dinim here. There's one din of a violation of the law of d'oraisa. There we require kavanah lahakos. And on a d'rabbanon level, the rabbanon extended this isur to merim yado, even if he doesn't have kavanah lahakos. Just the threat against his friend by raising his hand, that's enough to make him into a rush. So let's just summarize quickly what we said. A person is enjoined from hitting his friend. This is an Iser, which is Chomer Ma'od. It passels him from Eidus, and in cases where he does not engender a Chiv Mamon, a Tashlumi Nezikin, and to compensate his friend, he will get Malkus. We said that the Iser only applies if he hits an Adam Kosher, not an Adam Rasha. And if he hits a rasha in order to prevent the rasha from continuing, in order to cause him to terminate his acts of rishus, his criminal record, then it's not usur to hit him. However, that isur of hitting a rasha would the isur of hitting someone would apply to a rasha if the one who's hitting, the aggressor, is also a rasha. And that was the case that we discussed in Chumash of Dosan Vaviron. We said that the Isra HaKoa is alleviated in the case of a Tzorech Chinuchi, a father disciplining his son, a Rebbe who's hitting his Talmud, Bezdin who is implementing a punishment against a criminal. But yet, We require a great deal of shikul das before we activate this license to hit someone physically. It's only a last resort, last ditch effort, if all other methods of discipline have been unsuccessful. And it should always be out of a state of love, never b'derech nitzayon. We said that not only is the hakah itself prohibited, but there is also a prohibition against raising one's hand against another, and even according to some poskim, even if his intention was not to strike him, nevertheless, he still is in violation of this, and he has the state of being a Rasha. Other poskim say that this halacha only applies to someone who has kavana lahakos. So magbia yado shalovim eskavin lahakos does not violate that law. So the question of raising one's hand just to threaten someone, where that itself is prohibited, even if you have no intention of carrying it out. Okay, Rabbi Moshe, we'll stop here.